Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we're going to talk about Fast Track to Success in Grappling.
Fast Track to Success. So yep. We're going to talk about, I guess, how to practice and how to approach the whole, you know, training sessions and whatnot, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right, before we go on, we'd like to thank our biggest sponsors, Levon and Jason. Thank you very much again. Anything else to plug, Shintaro?
Well, man, if you guys want to sponsor us too, that'd be amazing. That helps us greatly with the podcast. There's so many listeners now. Everyone's like, hey, man, you're doing a great job. Show the love. Join us on Patreon, right, and support us. That way we could upgrade our equipment, keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe get Peter off the PhD track and do this full time. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Dude, I'll be poor man's Lex Freeman.
There we go.
That's right. All right, well, We were just talking about, before we started recording, this idea of fast tracking to success, you know? So there's a lot of aspects to this. So what do you want to talk about first?
Yeah. So there's ways to approach training methodology, practices, and then like all these different skill-based stuff. But this is more so like how to approach training like with the coaches and then getting information and being sort of on the radar, right?
Yeah,
the more attention you have on yourself, and the more attention the coaches give you, the better you're going to get.
Right.
So structuring your practices in a way where you get the most amount of yield is what I want to talk about today, mostly. Right?
I see.
Yeah, because some guys like, oh, I do Taitoshi, I want to throw this guy. Like the technical stuff, I can't help you with from here where I'm sitting. I don't know what your judo is like, right? But there are universal things, right? Being in the room and things like this and being around the right types of people that can definitely help you across the board, no matter what grappling sport you're doing. So that's where I want to kind of shift my focus today.
So it's more on the, like, your attitude and how to...
Yeah.
It's not just about, oh, doing, you know, many uchikomis as hard as you can. It's We're not talking about that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you mentioned something about, like, being noticed more.
Yeah. Like in the, so there's different approaches, right? You definitely want the coaches to know you, know your name, first name, basis, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to ask meaningful questions, but you don't want to do it in a way where it takes away from everyone in the room, or if you have literally like no experience at all and you're just asking all these questions that anyone else in the room could have asked.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of annoying to the high-level guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you do ask questions to the top guy in the room or the person that you want the most attention from, you want to think those questions through beforehand.
I see.
Right? Something that says like, hey, I've done my own research.
I
want to increase this thing, but I was unable to have a clear solution here. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Right? And so that's something that's like something that maybe like, for instance, like I got a question the other day, like, hey, you were showing this technique online. I was watching this video. I watched three other videos. You kind of said this and you kind of said that. Which one is it? Like, I'm trying to figure out what's best for my style.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this guy has done his research and it's not like a, and he was an intermediate beginner guy.
Yeah.
He's not like a super advanced dude. But the way he asked it, I was like, all right, he's not just shooting in the dark. He's not just asking any question to ask me, right? He thought this through.
And he's not asking all those questions like, hey, how do I throw a stiff arm person?
Yeah, here's like, the worst question. Like, what am I doing wrong? It's like the coaches aren't really watching you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you have a very, very special relationship with the coach, most of the time the coaches are making sure no one's getting injured in the room. They're training themselves. There's too many things to worry about. They can't remember 40 seconds into round number three, you versus that guy in the corner left back of the mat. Yeah. There's no way that they can keep track of stuff. Yeah. Right?
So you have to do your own problem solving first.
A little bit. And when you ask the questions, you have to kind of signal to them that you have done a little bit of background information.
Yeah.
Research.
Right. Then I guess one thing I was curious about while you're explaining this is how do you pick the right black belt or teacher to ask to? Like, I guess it depends on what kind of gym you go to and how many instructors there are, but like, is it for this type of question, do you go straight to the head instructor or like the assistants? What's your general advice here?
So if you're taking someone's class, yes, it's fair game to ask that head guy.
Yeah.
But generally, there's a lot of levels in between if you're at a pretty big gym. Not even a big gym, like a medium-sized gym, right? So definitely start off with someone that's like maybe two ranks above you, somewhere sort of in the intermediary. So you could get the most information out of that person, and that person probably, if they're intermediate, like a little bit higher level than you, maybe like a brown belt in judo, like a purple belt by jiu-jitsu standards or something like this, they're not going to guide you wrong with the simple questions that you may ask as a beginner intermediate.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a great place to first start off, right? Getting on that person's radar, and then you have that communication going where you're talking about technique and talking about this and that.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, that's noticeable by a lot of the coaches too. You know,
right? Because they're like hanging out, talking a lot to with each other. Yeah,
because there's the beginners that stick with beginners in the same cohort, right?
Yeah,
and there's beginners that kind of get like brought in by some of the intermediate, you know, guys, and like, this guy's gonna be good, right? And those guys have a dialogue with the head guy usually, say, hey, this kid's gonna be really good, you know. So like, those things really can go a long way. You know what I mean?
Right. So like, slowly, you don't have to go straight to the head instructor, just kind of, it might be more fruitful if you approach the intermediate guys that are more, they probably have more time to spend on you, I guess?
Yes.
More one-on-one, yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
And then,
so, yeah.
And then the coaches will notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, more and than your individual rounds, probably. Yeah,
no one's going to notice it. And then even if you think like, oh, I slammed this one dude, they're probably not going to notice it, you know, unless it's like an egregiously dangerous thing.
Yeah.
They definitely notice that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I see.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that, and, you know, some people just don't know how to answer, ask those, like, meaningful questions, whether, and they're insecure about it.
Yeah.
That would be a great time to pay for a private.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, like, buy the coach's attention. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
And then I know some people cannot afford it. Right?
Yeah.
But it's a great use of your time to kind of get an idea or a dialogue going, to get on that radar, you know?
Right.
Right? So when you do a private lesson, now you have all this information that was thrown at you, and now you could ask follow-up questions in the sessions following, you know?
In detail, like you have his, her, your head instructor's full attention.
Attention. And then later on, next week, the week after, hey, remember that thing that we did?
Yeah.
Hey, I was able to hit it on somebody. Hey, can we troubleshoot this? Like, I really gave it a lot of thought. That's a nice entryway into sort of the next stage up, right? Being on that radar.
Right.
And obviously, not everyone can afford it. And once you do a private lesson with the teacher, they're like, oh, let's do another one. Let's do another one. And not everyone can afford it.
Yeah.
So preemptively saying like, hey, you know, I can't do these sessions all the time. You know, I freaking work at Walmart or whatever job that you do. Like, I can't do it all the time, you know, but I would love to just get a take on a couple of things that I've been working on. Like, can you help me, you know?
So you better, like, come ready with like, good questions to these privates.
Good questions to show that you have put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously,
so make it count, really. You're spending a lot of money on and time on it.
Yeah. And the underlying assumption here is that the coaches that you're approaching are very knowledgeable people who care and who are interested, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a coach that's checked out, and then they just don't really care about it. Then you're in the wrong place already.
Right,
you know, so
right.
There's some underlying assumptions here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess, like, you identify your problems first.
Yeah.
That's first step. And then do your own research. And then start asking good questions to people around you, like intermediate people, and then maybe... Yeah. try to reach out farther up.
Yes, asking a question during technique session where the teacher's showing something, I really think like some of those questions are good. It's very rare, you know. Sometimes a brown or a black belt asks a great question, but it goes over most of the beginner's heads.
So
I'm like, that's a very good question, right? But no one in the room is going to understand that question or get the answer to it in the first place, so, you know, thanks for wasting everyone's time. Right? I would say it like that. And then when a beginner asks a question like, hey, can you show, what if this guy does that? And now all of a sudden, the intermediates know, like, don't ask those what if questions. What if the guy has a knife? What if the guy has a gun? Right?
Well, I personally really don't like those questions.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you know,
hip checks the other way? What if,
So, you know, there is a time and place, I think. I think before class, after class, those are always great times to ask questions, to be on the teacher's radar. And train close to the main guy. If you tuck away yourself in the back, no one's going to see you, right?
Right.
I know the people who want to be visible are going to congregate towards, like, where I am.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? The people who are tucked away in the back are like, oh, just leave me alone. I just want to kind of do my thing. I'll let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Right? But no, those guys are not going to be on the radar as much as the guys who are on mat one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Do you... But going back to asking questions during class, do you usually solicit for... solicit questions from
people? I don't even say, does anyone have any questions?
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
Because I see. The idea is that you don't want to, delay your class and then that 2 to 3 minute attention span, right? Like I know.
Two to three minutes, that's it. Instruction, always 2 to 3 minutes. And majority of the times, I bring them back for three sessions, right? Three-minute sessions is like the majority of the instruction in the room.
Right, right.
3 minutes instruction, go do it for 3 to 5 minutes. 3 minute instruction, 3 to 5 minutes, right? So if you've been in the class long enough, most of the time, I answer those questions second or third time around.
Yeah.
Right?
At the very end of it,
someone still might have a question. And I'm walking around back and forth, like, very attentive.
Yeah.
And people will go like this, hey, can I ask you a quick question? I'm like, yes, right?
Is that a good time to ask questions, you think, during
drill? If it's concise, yeah. Right? And sometimes when they're rambling on and you're trying to get the words together, yeah. And they're, like, rambling, I'm like, listen, man, you're going to get more out of just trying it and doing it, and it's going to sort itself out.
Yeah.
Right? So just keep drilling it, you know? And then sometimes when they're asking these questions, and I'm like, listen, man, you're working with a blue belt or a purple belt, like that guy, he can answer the question for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a question that, right? So my time is better spent elsewhere. So these are the little adjustments that I make while I'm mm-hmm. walking around teaching the class, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know, and then sometimes it's one of those things, like this guy's brand new, he has no clue what's going on. Hey, you know, Greg, can you work with this guy and just teach him X, Y, and Z? Or, right, right. I'll specifically pair him for somebody else.
Right. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about how to keep things concise, maybe, because I think, people tend to, some people tend to ramble along because they have so many thoughts. If they've done the research, they probably have a lot of thoughts, and then, you know, everything can come out like a war vomit, you know?
I mean, you're getting a PhD now.
Right, right.
Right? You went to Princeton, now you're at Michigan.
Something like PhD. That, yeah, yeah.
Now, you know what's funny? Someone reached out to me like, I can't believe you went to Princeton with Peter. I'm like, I didn't go to Princeton.
No, you're an honorary student, man. You're part of, remember the Eden Club I told you about?
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Tiger?
Tiger Inn, yeah, you'd have been on it. Right. Yeah.
But so this is the thing, right? You're not going to ask your professor some dumb question like, hey, when was the final or when was the midterm or what's on the midterm, right? Then they'd be like, this guy's not, get away from me.
Yeah, right. Then, I mean, a lot of times these professors are really hard to get a hold of anyway, so you don't want to waste time with these very basic questions that you can look up.
And you, like a good Asian boy, sit in the front of the class and raise your hand and ask meaningful questions and then answer questions as well, right?
Supposedly.
That's thought out, and it's concise, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Supposedly. So now the professor's like, wow, this boy is just...
Yeah.
Right?
I try, but...
It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's being a good student, right, I guess. Yeah.
Yep. If you're sitting in the back on your laptop and then texting people, you're just not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
We talked about that in our last episode. Like, when you want to focus, be attentive. Yep. I guess being focused, and I think it's a skill... A lot of times when what I find is that you try to, in the process of trying to come up with a good, concise question, a lot of times you answer your question yourself. I think that's a cool thing about this type of exercise.
Yeah.
So you may not even have to ask that question.
Yeah, it's true.
So think about it and try to make it concise. One point, 2 points maybe.
You know? Be concise about it. And then when you're on the radar, and obviously it goes without saying, you have to show up to training every day.
Yeah.
Because the guy that shows up once or twice a week or once a week, every 2 weeks, those guys, when they're asking questions, it's like, no, you know, I'm not wasting my breath answering your questions when you're not dedicated to this thing.
And you probably answered that question last week when that person wasn't there.
Yeah, you just don't have enough information gathered, right? You know, it's like when I used to, like, cut class sometimes and I'll show up every 2-3 weeks and the teacher doesn't know who I am. I'm like, hey, what's on the midterm? And he's like, who are you again? Right? And then I get, like, put in my place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't be that person.
Don't be that guy. So it's like you have to show up every day and you do have to train, obviously, right? And even when you can't train hard, because some people just can't physically train every day hard, you're going to have like high-intensity days, low-intensity days, technical days, and you have to mix these up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, some days, like, hey, I'm going to start off the week very slow. I'm going to do a hard, you know, training on Wednesday or whatever it is. Taper off, but still show up.
Mm-hmm.
Sit out the rounds, but then ask the thing. And you could always say, like, oh, I tweaked my knee. I'm just kind of nursing it, right? As opposed to, like, oh, I'm so tired and I can't train. It's like, don't, you know? It's like, hey, I'm just recovering a little bit. You know, can you watch this roll with me? Or, hey, I'm watching this person, or like, you could even say, like, if you're sitting on the sideline, there's a black belt doing randori, you could watch that person attentively.
Yeah.
And observe, then afterwards, yeah. And say, yo, yeah. Max, I did this other day. Yeah. One of our new guys, Max, he's a black belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, and I was watching. Him do this, the entry to Sode. It was kind of a unique Sode where you, like, switch stances and then go. I'm like, yo, why do you do that? And then, like, do you have other stuff when you switch stances and switch hand positions? He goes, well, and then he had a very good answer for that. You know? And then that was great.
Nice, but nice.
Let's just say if someone else was much lower than him in level, he asked that kind of a meaningful question where it's like, hey, I was watching you. Hey, I've been paying attention. Hey, like, can you show me some of the stuff? Why do you do it? And then how do you do it? Of course, now these guys would be like, dude, of course I'll help you.
Yeah.
Because you're already validating it, right? Oh, it was great, right? You were watching this thing.
Yeah.
You know, so you're giving him attention, he's going to give you attention. Yeah. Right?
It's like, oh, I've studied your game. Please teach me more. I mean, it's kind of an ego boost, I guess.
It really is. It's like, hey, I noticed when you did this thing, right? It's like, hey, professor, I read your research on...
I know. I was about to say.
On chatbots.
That's what... it's like when you want to, like, a research job, one of the best things is you just kind of puff them up. It's like, hey, I read your paper on this and this and that and amazing research, yada, yada, yada.
I've read every single one of your papers. You read 47 of my academic papers, like, every single page.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. That works. I mean, people are like that, you know?
People are susceptible to that flattery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you susceptible to flattery?
Oh, yeah. Why do you think I'm on the internet so much?
Do people come up to you nowadays, like, say, hey, I watch all these YouTube videos? And,
all the time. Yeah, almost every day.
Do they usually ask good questions? Do you think that's, like, a good basis of research, would you say?
Great questions, and people reference certain things about, you know, my family that I don't even remember talking about, which is very weird. I had a guy, you know, find my number and then call me on the phone, and they were like, oh, my God, you picked up. Let me tell you my thoughts on, you know, the current state of grappling. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You know, like, that happens.
What? Yeah. Maybe it's not the best way.
With, like, 200,000 subscribers on YouTube, that it's kind of not getting out of hand, but it definitely does get to a place of, like, wow, I can't know everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can't respond to everybody. I can't read all the comments, and then I can't filter out, you know, who's who. And, you know, even like, oh, man, you know, we go all the way back to college. Like, I followed you. You didn't follow me back. It's like, I just don't.
Yeah.
There's just too many people following and I just can't keep track of all that, you know?
It's one thing people say about you're a celebrity, you know, in the grappling world.
I guess minor celebrity, yeah.
Yeah. And what happens is a lot of the fans know so much about you, but it's not like the other way around.
Yeah.
So some fans, you know, feel so close to you.
Yeah.
But the reverse is not, because you just don't know. Yeah. You don't know all the 200,000 people, you know.
Just can't.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I did a seminar at Inverted Gear Academy over the weekend, and then, you know, guys were asking me, like, hey, you showed this one thing, you know, maybe like a year ago. I don't know if you remember it. And I kind of did remember it. It's like, hey, what is the solution for this Georgian A, Georgian B, whatever it is? And, you know, I've been going for this, but I've been getting caught.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. And it was like, how to free the tricep, you know? Uh-huh. So, like, pulsing away and pushing and then leaning to this side to give clearance to the elbow.
Right.
That's a very, very, very specific question.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, Georgian A, Georgian B, the guy's trapping the tricep. It's like, oh, in the video, it's like, oh, yeah, you don't want him to trap his arm. I just kind of gloss over it, but there's some nuance to, like, not letting him do it, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's switching over to that underhook, right?
Yeah.
So something like that, you know, I was like, wow, this guy, you know, studied this thing, is trying to learn this thing, and I'm going to try to give this guy a little bit more attention. When I was circling around, we were doing dayashis, right?
Right.
I was making sure he was doing it right, and if he wasn't doing it right, hey, do it like this, do it like that. I was much more keen to give him, like, instant feedback.
Yeah.
Right?
So looping back to, you know, our main focus here, so fast track to success, and one aspect was, like, what did we first talk about? We, like, getting noticed, right? Like, asking.
Getting noticed, knowing yourself.
And then the way to do it is asking good questions, you know, doing your research, and then
yeah.
asking your intermediate guys for us, and then maybe reach out to your higher level belt, higher belts.
Yeah. You can't rely on the main guy or the head guy or
the
person who knows everything to like bring you in. You know, you have to do some of the work yourself, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that thing, like if you're standing on the side of the road waving people down for help, nobody may pull over, right? I think Chris Rock said this. But if you're pushing your car, then somebody's going to pull over and be like helping you out, more likely to help you out. Because no one want to help the guy that doesn't help himself.
Yeah.
Nobody. But the guy that's trying very hard and then doing their very best, everyone want to help that guy.
Yeah.
You know? So being mindful when you train, spending some time doing some analysis or introspection, these things go so long, right? And then not coming in here, doing judo 3 times a week, as hard as you can, and doing the same workout as everybody else, that's really not going to help majority of the people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the fast track is like being mindful and designing your own sort of curriculum, right? Being as attentive as possible, mindful as possible, getting on the radar for the top coaches, the people in the room. And then the more you have a community behind you that's invested in your growth, the more you can talk about this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Nick right now is one of our biggest guys who is the most dedicated in the gym.
Yeah.
You know Nick, right? And boy, is he always asking questions.
Yeah.
And he has group chats and he's sending messages and passing around reels and, hey, what do you guys think of this? And man, he's at the forefront of like just a judo conversation.
I see.
You know what I mean? So he's leaps and bounds in improving, you know, over everybody else because he's so much more dedicated, right?
Right.
And if he can't train physically, he's still there, present, mentally, asking questions.
Oh, maybe not. That's,
That's impressive. Dedication.
You know?
Right. Don't come if you have COVID, you know, obviously.
Don't give everyone COVID.
Yeah. But even if you're a little bit sick, wear a mask, sit on the side. Oh, my shoulder's banged up. Come in, drill. Do what you can. Hey, do you want to do Rondori? No, I can't because I'm nursing a shoulder thing. But hey, can we drill some light stuff? You know, always working around your injuries. Always staying engaged. You know, you have to make it fun for yourself, right?
So, how about this? Now, so we kind of talked about those strategies, fast-track strategies to success.
Yeah.
And we always talk about how success means different things to people. And then this, in this particular episode, success means like rapid improvement as a judoka or as a grappler. And then, you know, finding a good community to where you can really grow as a grappler, right?
Yeah.
Some people just want to get a good workout and, you know, they may not want to like necessarily want to put time to like come up with, like do the research and come up with good questions and all. Yeah, so what do you think about this? Like, what do you think about people?
That's okay, like that? Man. That's okay. And I got guys like that in the gym. And as long as we have an understand, like, hey, I'm here to work out, make friends, and just kind of enjoy myself, right? I'm, like, more than happy to support that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hey, what's going on, man? Like, get a good workout in. And then whenever they're kind of, like, slowing down, it's like, hey, get one in, work out more. Hey, push yourself a little bit, right? And there's a little bit of that person has a different need.
Yeah.
Right. So my interaction with that person is not going to be like a very technical, hey, you know, you're on my radar. I'm gonna, come here and let me show you something. It's not going to be like that, you know? And that's going to be a little bit more like, hey, Johnny, doing great. Hey, Johnny, keep going. Hey, Johnny, did you get enough rounds? Hey, Johnny, how many did you do today? Hey, get 10 more rolls, okay? Or 10 more rounds, or 10 more throws, whatever it is, you know? Johnny, there's only 1 minute of push-ups. Push yourself hard for that 1 minute. Right, so there's somebody in his corner like helping him, you know. So and even then, being on the radar helps.
Yeah.
As opposed to like someone that sneaks in, you know, hangs out in the back, disappears like you know before class ends, and that guy's never really you know on the radar, right? And some people still are on the head guy's radar based on nepotism. Or being someone's brother, you know what I mean? When that person cares about said family, you know what I mean? But generally speaking, like that's fine as long as you have that understanding with the coach.
Right. I think that's, and whatever success is, you have to communicate to the coach, you know,
and
a good coach will help whatever way that they can. Yeah.
And I think like a lot of good teachers, a lot of good dojo owners and whoever the authority is in the beginning, asking the questions like, hey, what do you want to get out of this? Right. And just asking that and understanding what motivates them is one of the biggest factors, because then you could base your entire training journey based around that, right. You know? Some people need the milestones of the accolades and the goals and the, I need this technique this many days and to be a yellow belt. Yeah. And those people aren't motivated by me, you know, fist bumping and, hey, you're doing good and taking people down. They want to know they're progressing towards a rank. They need a checklist. Bang, bang, bang. Right? Those are the guys who go to school. They have a syllabus, a curriculum, a to-do list. The midterm's coming up. Check, 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 check. Right?
Yeah.
That guy's not the same as a Nick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That guy's not the same as the guy that wants to just come in and break a sweat and make friends.
Right, right.
Right?
Right.
Some people just want to join a community and feel like they're part of something.
Yeah.
You know, some people just want to, like you said, work out and hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and some people just want the achievement of, hey, I'm a ex, you know, this belt or whatever it is. And
yeah, I think, it, for whatever success you define, you need to still like do research and then like let it be known, like talk, communicate well with others in the gym.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. The guy who does BJJ who wants to work on their stand up coming into your gym, right?
Yeah.
Great. Just do the judo class 3 times a week. We do nothing that like correlates over to the thing
Or
translate. And they're going back to their gym hoping that they're going to launch people and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
That guy's going to quit.
Right, right.
Right. But if that guy is on the radar for the coach, like, listen, man, I'm trying to fight in the Masters 4 Blue Belt Division, Pan American Championships, and I really want to take down my guys at the gym and show them that my stand-up is really good, and I want to, like, smoke guys there, like, all right, can you help me? Okay, you know, first you're going to have to buy a 10-pack of private. Not even that, but it's like,
fast right, track. Yeah.
All right, we're going to do Uchimata, but, you know, we're going to make some adjustments for you specifically, right?
And right.
Show an Uchimata, maybe show a backstep, Kenken Uchimata, and, like, in the context of BJJ, you're going to do this hand position, that hand position, these are the slight adjustments. And having that one-liner right there.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever he's in the room, like, hey, it might be tough. The guy has his hips far back.
Yeah.
Snap down and go for Uchimata, or fake Uchimata, then snap down. Those two things are interchangeable, right?
Yeah.
So you're staggering the timing against the guy who has their legs back. And then the finish is not going to be as clean as a judo finish, like a lifting finish.
Right.
You're going to have to hop through and stuff the head, right?
Yeah.
And something like that, that's what they're there for. And you're giving them exactly that. And the only way that they could get there a lot of the times in a sea of 40 people in the room is to be on my radar.
Yeah.
Right?
And you do so by being upfront with your goal, doing your own research, and then kind of like, hey.
Yeah, all the things you talk about.
Yeah. Right. I've noticed that Uchimata works well on some BJJ people.
Yeah.
How do we make that happen?
That's right. Yeah. And if you say you want to do training and you want to do this, you want to get better, and if you only come in once every 2 weeks... I'm not going to believe you. I don't care what you say. You know, it used to be like, okay, sure. If you want to do this competition, yeah, I'll help you, buddy.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, whenever someone tells me that, I'm like, all right, let's see if you show up for a month straight.
Yeah.
3 times a week consistently.
Yeah.
If you do, I'll help you. If not, you know,
I mean, right? That's it. Yeah. This is coming from like painful experience from the past, you know, like things didn't work out and,
Why am I wasting my breath on this guy
who's
telling me he wants to do something? Anyone could say anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, show me.
You got to walk the walk. Show the teacher. Yeah.
When I did ballet, dude.
That's right.
I got very good at ballet.
You are on the radar of that ballet teacher. Bro. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there was a guru, a ballet teacher, right?
And I've hung out with famous. This guru, that's too. Right. He's a funny guy. Yeah.
He was famous for building up the first Indian principal dancer for the New York City Ballet.
Yeah.
And there was a slew of guys who would go follow him around everywhere for every class that he did who wanted to be a professional ballet dancer, and they would call him Danny's Boys.
Danny's Boys,
yeah. Yeah, it's the gayest thing I've ever heard, right?
Yeah.
And all of them were gay. You know, they're all ballet dancers. I shouldn't say all of them. It was like 90% of them were gay. So now all of a sudden, like, I want to like get into ballet. I started getting into it for like flexibility purposes and mobility purposes. Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to meet like a nice girlfriend or something. And then, like, you know, getting into that world of like, oh, this is something I do twice a week. Right.
Yeah.
But now little by little, I start like liking it and it's fun.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this guy is like, all right, what is this guy? He definitely doesn't look like he belongs here. He definitely sucks.
Yeah.
But he's definitely different. And he's showing up every day. Right. And
then that was the point, like, you keep showing up,
And then he was like, yo, what is your deal, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my deal. And then I had a conversation with him, and he's like, all right, why don't you come to my advanced class tomorrow?
I was
like, what? And there were guys like New York City ballet dancers, ABT former dancers, people professional on Broadway. All these people were there. Dude, I was the worst person in the room, dude.
You brought me to all the classes, and guys, these ballet is no joke. It's one of the toughest things I've ever done.
Yeah. Oh, judo's way tougher. Let's not even kid ourselves here, right? Judo's a million times tougher. But anyway, I'm there, and I look like a buffoon, and, you know, obviously it's very embarrassing, but I'm, like, toughing it through. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm pretending like no one exists, and this guy's like, you know what? Keep coming to the advanced class, and now all of a sudden I'm on this guy's radar. He's, right, little by little. It took 2 years for me to, like, be, I don't want to say proficient, but able to do all these moves. I'm not saying, like, I could dance like a ballerina.
No, you could do well. Yeah, I saw you.
By anybody's beginner level, I'm like, oh, I could do all the beginner classes.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, I could, you know, it could be like a 22-year-old woman who's like trying ballet for the first time, and I could be like, yo, you follow me.
Yeah.
Right?
You were the, like, the purple belt?
Huh?
Were you like the purple belt? A blue belt?
Yeah, four stripe blue, maybe.
Well, four stripe blue. All right.
Maybe purple. I don't know. Depends. Not a competitor level purple. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Not competing at, like, world championships at the purple belt level and winning.
You're the ones that don't warm up, don't participate in the warm up in the back, and then
Masters like... 3 purple belt. Hobbyist twice a week. That beats most of the other younger purple belts. That's the guy that I was in the ballet room.
All right.
But you know, there's a hierarchy in the room of, like, where who stands where.
Right? Oh, I didn't know that.
They are, right? Yeah. And then the main guy stands near the teacher because, all right, we're going to do, you know, tandu, zankwa, whatever it is, and then blah, right? We're going to go into the... So that guy has to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So, like, a person who's new can't stand there. And then the spot in front of the mirror or where the mirrors converge so you could look at yourself from both angles, like, that's reserved for, like, you know, the top five guys.
Guys
and girls, right?
Yeah.
97% of the class is girls.
Yeah.
that's why I went in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you know, eventually, like, you're tucked away in the back. No one sees you. But then, hey, Chateau, why don't you come stand over here? And now, all of a sudden, I'm friends with this guy, Casey, who was on Broadway. He was an amazing dancer. He was a professional dancer, right? And he would be like, Chateau, come stand next to me. Right? And I'm like, all right, you know, he's kind of big dogging me a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, you can follow me if you get confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we're doing our thing, and he's like, hey, yeah, port de bras, wrong arm, wrong leg, like giving me little things here and there.
Yeah.
And before you know it, that became my spot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's him, the number one dog, the number one dog's over here in front of the teacher, and then the number two spot right by that converging mirror, and right behind him was me.
Nice, nice.
So I'm following the number two guy, and then the girls behind me are following me.
Right?
Yeah. Making sure they're doing the right. And this is not the advanced class. This is like sort of the intermediate beginner. This is a 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, you know?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Damn.
And now all of a sudden, it's like I'm friendly with these people. Class ends. People are scurrying out. You know, new people are shy. They're like out. Now I'm like sitting there bullshitting with the guys who do this for a living. And we're talking about dance. We're talking about this. You know, how many pirouettes can you do in a row? You know, oh, I could do six without warming up or whatever it is. How many can you do, Chintaro? I hit three before at once, you know? Like, right? And now, the communication for the jargon's there. Like, I'm always in the mix of talking about this stuff. Right?
There are so many parallels to judo and BJJ schools here.
But everything you want to learn, you could do it in this manner.
Yeah.
If you're in school and academics, it's this way. Right? If you... What is it? Football? Like, you know, you got to be on the coach's radar, you know?
Yeah.
Right? It's like if you are not on the radar, don't practice, don't ask questions. You're just part of the room. You're not very good. You just will be sitting on the bench the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's kids on that team. Remember when you're in high school? Like, why is this kid starting? Why is this kid getting playing time? He freaking sucks, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's because he's the coach's favorite. Why do you think he's the coach's favorite?
Tries hard
on the radar.
Tries on the radar, yeah.
Maybe pays for private lessons. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Like anything you want to learn in a class setting, this is how it's done.
Dude, you know, man, I did ballet like 2-3 classes a day, dude. I did that. right?
I remember you're so in it. You even had a eventually had a little show of your for yourself.
Yeah, I did all of it, dude. Nine o'clock class was doing until 11 to 1, yeah. And then I would go to the gym, and then I would go to the dojo. That was my schedule, like majority of the days. And sometimes on Tuesdays and Thursdays when I didn't do judo at night,
yeah, you know,
I'll go do ballet in the evenings.
Yeah.
On Tuesday night, I would do this class called Pop Ballet, where they would do ballet class to a song.
A pop song. Yeah.
And Heather Hawk taught this class, and she was like this super hot blonde woman. She was like a little bit older, like she was like 40-something years old.
Yeah.
And, dude, immediately I was on the lady's radar, dude. Because I walked in there, and she was like, what are you doing here? Kind of. She was kind of like standoffish about it, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, and I just started chit-chatting, and she was like, is this guy like a creepy dude? Doing this thing.
Right.
She's like,
right.
Well, this is like a little bit more intermediate level. You have to have experience. It's like, I've been dancing with Danny and these guys forever, you know, for almost a year and a half. Like, I take all these classes in the mornings. I'm like a morning class guy.
Yeah.
You know? And she was like, welcome.
Yeah.
Where do you want to stand? And I was like, I'll stand right over here. And then did the thing. And then little by little, man, she like took me under her wing and she'd be like, right? And
you're
sometimes like I was missing the musicality of it. And then she would just be like, holding my hand. She was like, give me your hand. And she'll hold my hand and like, and then me and I'd be blushing, you know, all that stuff, and it was the best.
I guess I kind of had that.
Yeah.
It's like me showing up to the BJJ school in Michigan.
Yeah.
Just like randomly, like, you know, with the raggedy gi. That's clearly not a beginner, I guess. But then everyone's like, who is this guy? But they're like, oh, I know Shintaro, and then Dave Garmo knows you and all that.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're a nice guy. You're not killing everyone, hopefully.
No.
I was getting killed.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, you're just a friendly guy, and I'm sure you were on the radar. You know, and that's the fast track to success with anything.
Yeah, I was on the radar. Yeah, Dave always wanted to go with me because I'm a judo guy. He did judo, and then we would do stand-up rounds, you know, and people watch.
What blue belt can walk into a jiu-jitsu gym and start doing live roles with the instructor within a month of being there?
Yeah.
Consistently.
First class, every time he would ask. Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, see, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, and you don't have to have gone to Princeton to figure this thing out.
You know what I mean? No, it's all thanks to my connection to Shintaro. And then I came.
That's all you.
I did come consistently and then, like, you know, train hard, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I went hard. So that's probably helped. Anyway.
And then you quit?
Because I moved and I. You know, I wanted to focus more on judo again, you know?
How's that going?
It's good. I'm probably going to go tomorrow.
Are you in with the top guy?
Well, I go to Christian's gym now, so.
You're in with the top guy.
I am in, and yeah.
Yo, take a picture with him and send it to me.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. I have no idea what he looks like now, so.
No, he's the same, man. Yeah. He's the same now, yeah.
You didn't gain weight?
I think he gained over the pandemic, but he lost it all, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still strong. You do rounds with him?
Yeah. Still strong. Beats me up. Yeah.
Nice. Guys like
on the ground and stand. Huh? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. How many guys are in the room?
I would say it's kind of a weird situation because it's like half club judo people and half through the school
to take
the class. Mm. So I would say the club people are like 10 people.
Nice.
That usually, I think that's how many will show up, but then the class people will stay on and then kind of do rounds together too.
Yeah.
So it's good. There are a lot of young people, so it gives me a good workout. Yeah.
And also to answer the question that somebody else had, we're going to do a separate podcast about it, but leveling up from here.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of segues into it so nicely.
Yeah. You know?
It's identifying the crop of guys that are also on the radar and spending more time with them.
Yeah.
And then doubling up on the rounds. That's another one that's super, super, like, underappreciated. Doubling up on rounds.
We'll dedicate a separate episode for this. Yeah.
If you want. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
I'll just knock it out right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So we talked about all these strategies to, you know, going on the fast track to success. Anything else?
No, man. That's it.
All right. Cool,
please join us on Patreon, guys. Join us on Patreon.
Yep. And, you know, talk to other grapplers on our Discord server.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Yep.